This is a late parole hearing for Curtis Bishop, ADC number 045563. Mr. Ed Bishop has been certified to come before this board for an absolute discharge, home arrest, or regular parole. Mr. Bishop is currently serving a life sentence for first-degree murder. His sentence began on December 8th of 2080. He first became parole eligible on September 26, 2009. Mr. Bishop is 57 years old at the time. He did serve two previous sentences, one for trafficking and stolen property, attempted trafficking and stolen, two counts of attempted trafficking and stolen property. He served a 6-year sentence, which those sentences have already expired. He does have some discipline. However, he has his last discipline that he received was actually for fighting, which was dismissed, which was back in October of 06. He does have several citations, but I almost would say that he has, I don't want to say he has a minimal amount, but he does have tickets that he has received. He's come before this board 8 times. On each of the times that he's come before this board, it's been for a parole, for a home arrest, absolute discharge, a regular parole. He has been denied on 4 of those times, and the other times he has refused to appear and did not show. He does have a very minimal amount of programming that he's actually received. One of them is cultural diversity, smoking, and a interviews or something that he actually had, but he's had a very minimal, he had 2 of them in 08 and 1 of them in 07. According to the court records, this is an incident that occurred on the evening of November 14th, 1980. Staff members at the Vision Crest Residential Facility House for Juveniles took a carload of juveniles to the drive-in movie where they seen the movie Halloween. This movie concerned a mentally ill youth who kills his sister with a kitchen knife and then escapes and commits more stabbings. After they returned from the movies, they then returned back to their bungalows. Mr. Bishop had a separate bungalow where he was actually located. He then armed himself with a sheath knife and proceeded to the victim's house located on the same property. After peering through her window, he entered the residence, confronted the victim, and immediately began stabbing her with his knife. He then took a long, two-pronged steak fork from the kitchen and continued to stab her in the anal and vaginal area, bending the fork. Finally, he attempted intercourse before fleeing the scene. On December 8th of 1980, Vision Craft staff moved the defendant to Denver, Colorado. Then on December 9th of 1980, a murder warrant was issued for his arrest. The defendant committed this murder while he was under the, stated that he was under the influence of PCP, but nevertheless was aware that he was committing the actual murder itself. There are some pictures in here of the victim that's showing where she was actually assaulted. And also, I do want to say that he did appeal his case, and it was remanded with instructions. The instructions that he was remanded back to court was for the purpose of filing a motion. He was put to receive effective counsel, and they remanded for a new competency hearing. He did have his competency hearing. I do want to say that there is a letter of objection to any release of Mr. Bishop from the Pima County Attorney's Office. I do just want to make one note in there that on the first sentence that the county attorney has on there, said you are about to consider whether a person who described himself as needing to be incarcerated for protection of the society should be released into the community, and that is, I believe, a statement that Mr. Bishop had said that he needed to be incarcerated so that society could be protected and he not be released in the community. Based on all the information that we have, that there are no letters of support, no victim or family support in there. There are several letters of opposition that are attached to the file, and I also believe that we do have someone from the victim witness program. They have a letter of opposition that they want to read, and we'll go ahead and have them read that letter at this time.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Good afternoon, honorable board members. My name is Nathan, my name is Alejandro Palacios, Nathan Advocate with the Department of Corrections Office of Victim Services, and I'm going to read a statement by Mr. Henry Bassman. To whom it may concern, I am responding to your recent notice of a parole hearing for Curtis and Bishop, ADC number 045563. I am Cheryl McMillan's brother-in-law and the designated victim's representative for our family. I am married to Cheryl's sister for the last 49 years, and her mother lived with me until her recent death. Cheryl's father is also dead. Cheryl's two sisters are alive, and between them have five daughters of their own and four grandchildren. My previous letters expressed our family's concerns about releasing Curtis Bishop from prison. With previous letters, I included photos of Cheryl's murder and mutilated body. I can provide them again if you feel you should see them. I'm just warning you, they are gruesome. The police detective who discovered her body was so traumatized by the viciousness of her attacker that he resigned from the police force. I urge you not to release Curtis Bishop from the penitentiary. Cheryl's sister will be terrified for themselves, their daughters, and grandchildren, knowing he was out of prison and able to track them at will. Cheryl's death continues to have a profound impact on our family. My oldest daughter, who was 3 years old at the time, was traumatized by seeing the grief of her mother, grandmother, aunts, and uncles. She underwent therapy for several years and still takes medication. My wife, who accompanied me to identify the body when it was returned to their hometown of Lowell, Massachusetts, underwent therapy for an extended period of time and continues to take medication. My in-laws were never the same after Cheryl's murder. I am a combat veteran of Vietnam. I have seen the share of dead people, my share of dead people. The viciousness of Curtis Bishop's attack on Cheryl was something else. Curtis Bishop not only stabbed my sister-in-law to death, but afterward defiled and maimed her body using kitchen utensils to cut and stab her and to attack her genitals. After cutting and stabbing her, he ejaculated on her corpse. This was not a murder of passion, revenge, or greed. It was a senseless attack by a deranged person. His prison record shows a person who continues to be angry and disrespectful of authority. For the sake of Cheryl's family and for the benefit of society as a whole, I implore you to keep this vicious individual incarcerated, where he cannot hurt innocent people. In prison, by rampage by Curtis Bishop, has a good chance of being contained. If he were released, he could wreak his deadly behavior in some other woman's home, away from prying eyes and swift enforcement. Thank you for the opportunity to speak on Cheryl's behalf in this matter. Henry Boston.
Okay, thank you, sir. Any questions? Okay. Based on the information contained in the report that we have, I am going to move to deny Mr. Bishop absolute discharge, regular parole, or home arrest. That
second.
Is in my motion.
Agreed.
Motion by myself, second by Ms. Rittenhouse, including Mr. Quinones, Mr. Neal, Dr. Wright. Because this happened in 1980, it's not eligible for a one-year set-off. I am going to mark that it was a serious and violent offense, loss of human life, a serious and deviant offense, and I'm going to mark trauma to the victim as she was repeatedly stabbed, as well as then stabbed with a kitchen fork. It's serious bodily injury to her. I'm going to mark poor institutional behavior. History of needs that he needs death and needs closer supervision, lack of a program, and a poor no release plan, no family or community support. Unless the board sees some other things to actually include in there. Okay, that's going to conclude the hearing for Mr. Curtis Bishop at this time.